I think a lot of times you look at that inventory management and say, until I get perfect and 100% of everything collected and identified, I'm not going to start with the next phase. And I think what's important is you need to get it good enough and then move on to starting to manage, because as an ongoing process, you'll be able to collect and identify those other things.
Hello, hello, and welcome to SaaS Me Unfiltered, the SaaS Management Podcast, the show with give it to you straight, real life advice from pros knee deep in SaaS every single day. SaaS management superheroes just like you. I am especially thrilled today to have a very tenacious, results-driven IT leader joining us. He began his career as an engineer before moving over into the IT space. He has spent most of his career, which is 23 plus years, in the biz tech org at Citrix. But today, he is the VP of Digital Experience at Modernizing Medicine. He lives in Boca Raton, Florida, with four daughters, still two of them at home. In his personal time, he likes a little bit of gaming and is a giant sports fan. He loves the Miami Heat, all things Florida Atlantic, and unfortunately for me as a Cubs fan, loves the St. Louis Cardinals. Welcome to the show, Trenton Cycle. How are you, Trenton?
Great, great. Thanks for having me today.
Boy, we are very, very excited to have you on the show today. The concept that we really want to zero in with you and understand from your experience is really your specific approach to managing software and software as a service in IT. And specifically, what's that crawl, walk, run approach? How do you begin? We have so many folks that struggle to understand this massive problem and how to just take that first step. What do you do from a crawl perspective? And then how do you start to operationalize that program as your IT organization matures? Sounds like a really fun topic for us to cover, and I'm excited to get into it.
Awesome.
Well, Trenton, definitely super excited to have you on the show today. So you are leading the digital experience team at ModMed. ModMed's a healthcare software solution. Before we dive into the details of your role and what your team is facing on a day-to-day basis, I'd love to take a step back, understand what is going on in the business today. What are ModMed's company goals and initiatives going into the new year?
Absolutely, absolutely. So first and foremost, you know, ModMed, we are a specialty-driven EHR provider. And as you mentioned, we're a software technology firm. And our mission is to put doctors and patients at the center of care through intelligent, specialty-driven cloud platforms. And specifically, kind of where we're at now as a company is really driving towards scale. And we have a lot of operational excellence driving many initiatives within the business. And these are all things that are typical you'd see from a software company going through this stage of growth, where we're through the rocket ship years. And now we're heading into kind of the, all right, how do we scale this rocket ship now for a more consistent ride, not the initial burst of energy?
For our listeners joining in today, about how large is Modernizing Medicine, or ModMed, as everybody refers to it?
Yeah, so ModMed's about 2,500 to 3,000 employees now worldwide. We've opened up international locations in three different countries and primarily serving, I mean, the U.S. healthcare system and U.S. providers, but definitely on a trajectory that's scaling big.
Going international, did that help the focus come into driving scale, operational excellence? Did those happen simultaneously?
Yeah. So the way we look at it is that opening international locations are an extension of what we're doing here, and they're for, you know, specific roles, specific areas of the business. But all in all, operationally, they all have to work in cadence. And that means the tools, the technology, the systems, which is an important part of what I do here. But it's also one of all company needs to be connected. So having multiple tools and technologies doing different things is not a great thing for us. So we're hyper-focused on driving standardization, governance where needed, but also a lot of innovation where we can actually let different groups in different areas go off and try things.
As part of those initiatives, managing costs, the efficiency, the operational excellence, and again, so many of us, so many companies were focused on cost savings last year. Are you and your team really, and the business, frankly, thinking about strategies around controlling costs and scaling those efficiencies?
100%. I mean, that's the foundation of really driving scale and repeatability. And we look at kind of that operational excellence as a real feeder to our innovation, because that's how we generate an innovation budget, for lack of a better term, an innovation investment that we can actually continue to grow upon. But also the cost savings is sort of twofold. We look at ways that we can actually save, but not just to save on, for instance, licensing or technology, but also to save on productivity for our employees. The employee experience is directly related to the number of things they have to do in a day. And the more we can simplify that, the more productivity will be driven in their work day to day.
I think that's really well put. A lot of what you've articulated here is an inspiring mission coupled with a scaling organization that needs to standardize and drive operational excellence to fund innovation. What a wonderful way to wake up in the morning and go to work with that as your overall goal. And I think from an IT perspective, that's the focus typically that we hear from CIOs and leaders like yourself, is that, you know, sprawl might be a cost issue, and that's certainly something that you've got to be on top of, but the efficiency drain from employees that use far too many solutions, non-standardized data between those solutions, causing rework, and your own internal teams that can't seamlessly speak to each other, that is an overall drain on employee productivity. So let's think about how inspiring that is, what the company is doing, how it's hyperscaling, and you are at the front of the digital experience. So those company directives and initiatives, how does that waterfall down to IT? How are you aligning your goals to the overall scaling goals for the organization?
Yeah, so at the top level, we are strategically aligned with all of our go-to-market goals, all of our customer experience goals, objectives. But more importantly, probably for the discussion today, we are a true driver, but also an enabler of that operational excellence. And so IT plays a critical role because we're a multiplier for the company. And we're able to actually make things happen with technology that armies of people could not have happen. And so with today's capabilities, through automation, through any kind of AI initiatives, we're able to actually do things at a much faster pace and scale. And so the company really leans on us for driving a lot of the operational strategies, you know, of the company. And a big part of that is not just the technologies that we procure, acquire, and bring in, but it's also how do we make those work better together? Because that's what makes the company work seamlessly.
The efficiency and the automation that you're driving enables your company. You have that multiplier effect. You're also driving those overall cost savings, which goes into that innovation budget. Maybe double click a little bit on that innovation budget. What does that look like at ModMed? Is that specific to IT? Is it organization wide? A lot of companies will swipe budget and say it's just better margins that we're able to have, but the companies that are leading and building always pump that back into innovation. So what's that mean?
Yeah, so we look at it holistically. I mean, it's company-wide. We're a culture very much of having open-minded, innovative employees. And yeah. So this creates the sort of white space that people can try things. And so we see it as a global enterprise kind of budget when you look at it from a, not just from a financial terms, but also from just the time, giving people the time that they can actually try things and invest time in running proof of concepts or pilots. And if we're able to save the time, money in other areas, it gives us more time to do those kind of things, sort of a flywheel effect.
I loved how you were talking about IT as this force multiplier for the business. It seems like there's just an incredible partnership. There is alignment to business goals. I want to talk a little bit about how software is playing a role there and how that impacts what you're doing every day in the software space.
Like most large enterprises, mid-sized enterprises, we have a lot of tech. We have a lot of tools, and every day everybody has a new idea for a new tool application. And we in IT and our technology teams, we are not a one-size-fits-all for every single type of tech. And so we spend a lot of time, what we call tiering our applications and our tool sets and tech, one where we can actually engage and partner with the business at the right level, at the right time, and at the right frequency, quite honestly, because there are a lot of tools and technology that our business teams and operational teams are able to be self-enabled. But there still needs to be controls, governance for things like user ID, passwords, those kind of things that we need to make sure we keep control. So we set really three tiers at a very simplistic level where we tier one type applications tools, we do end-to-end management, full service, full scale. This is the more traditional model of I've got an enterprise system I want to implement. Tier two is kind of we're an administrative arm. We help with a lot of the more tasks that are more traditional IT functions. And these are typically systems that will integrate with our core. And then tier three is just we're consultants on this. We just provide inputs, we provide guidance, but they're typically not systems that will integrate with our core, but they might solve a particular departmental need or objective. So us being able to sort of segment that allows us to get engaged, involved at the right level, because IT is never staffed at the level to be 100% involved with all technology. And so we have to pick and choose the ones that are going to be the biggest movers for the company and invest the IT resources in those first and foremost.
I want to dig into that a little bit. Was there a need or a moment that surfaced where this sort of tiering system and process jumped in, where you thought that this is the way that we have to do this?
Yeah, it was definitely a learning, and I'll sort of date myself a little bit here. But, you know, if you look at legacy technology, the previous ways, the selection, procurement, analysis was done on a tool or technologies was one of, let's spend 6 months on a project to go select a enterprise tool to run our ERP. And everybody got involved. Everybody took the time. Everybody took the effort. And I think everyone's defaulted into just reusing that same methodology to try to get involved with every piece of tech. And in today's SaaS world, cloud world, it is not one that's going to move at an agile speed that's going to keep an enterprise moving fast. So it's one that we learned, I think, out of just experience of seeing it not work a few times and trying to be IT and getting in the way and look using legacy processes. Those days are gone. And so we have to make sure we're actually getting involved with the right things and the ones that are going to be the highest risk or the ones that are going to be, again, the highest value to the company. So I think it's a learning that we had from the old way of doing things just isn't working anymore for tech.
This is a super important concept that I want to follow up on. All of our listeners, our customers, reach that point where they say, how much can we centralize what is already decentralized? And where do we pick and choose our battles, which is what you mentioned as well. Can you double down on the tier one criteria? How do you make that determination that this is something we need to bring into IT, manage internally, and is there a set kind of evaluation or is there a little bit of gray area every time you're looking at one of those apps?
Definitely we have guardrails that actually are put in place to try to guide the determination, but the tier one applications, quite simply, are multi-departmental, enterprise-wide, touching multiple systems with integrations, housing information that is of some level of security and control we want to have on it. And then ultimately, it's really where our core business is run and impacts potentially our financials, could impact any of our external reporting. Those kind of things are things we factor into what makes a tier one application. And honestly, you mentioned this sort of the word centralization, and I just want to touch on this tiering is how we've actually been able to remain centralized, but centralization does not equal complete end-to-end, do everything for every tool and technology. And I think that's where there's sort of misunderstanding by technology teams that we do centralize and we do govern, but it doesn't have to be one of, again, one size fits all, that we're going to do everything for every technology.
Yeah, I think that makes a ton of sense. The criteria that you're using makes a ton of sense as well. I would assume then that any technology that touches your production environment, your product, that's probably managed in your engineering team under the same umbrella with engineering or tech, as well as business services and IT. Is that kind of how ModMed is structured today?
Yeah, we do want to keep the product running as agile as possible. So we use a lot of things like if it's directly tied to product feature functionality, you know, we try to keep the product team being able to be very self-sufficient in that way, being able to drive whatever the customer needs in product. Yeah. If it's operational in focus and helps keep the engineering product teams running, that's something that we'll step in and help out with from an, you know, an IT or biz tech area.
If you're not unlocking the full value of your SaaS, what are you doing? There is no denying it. SaaS is mission critical to your company's growth and success.
And as the number two operating expense for most organizations, it's your biggest opportunity to save money and drive efficiency. The time is now to do something about it. Join me and your fellow IT, SAM, finance, and procurement leaders at SaaSME. SaaSME is the industry's only dedicated SaaS management event where you can sharpen your skills, hear from your peers, and learn how to unlock value and responsible business growth through smarter SaaS management. Register today at SaaSME.com. That's SaaSME.com.
Trenton, from the partnership to the business to this really incredible viewpoint that your team is using, the tiering system, a lot of our listeners are probably asking themselves, well, how did he get there? How did his team get there? Like, this feels really big. And you've done a lot of work, but really a crawl, walk, run. And I think that's what so many people are interested in. Like, what are those first steps, those actions I can start to take tomorrow that are going to lead myself, my team, my business on that path where you are today?
Something I learned from one of my former CEOs that I think is a great piece of advice is he always said when there's a problem or something you need to solve, he said, you have to find your ass. And so the thing we've got to do is figure out what inventory of stuff we have. And so the first step is let's figure out what technologies exist, where do we have them, who is owning them, who's passionate about some of them. So it's a lot of inventory exercise and a lot of data collection. Understanding that first is the first step. And that helps with everything that we're doing here, with app tiering, with any of the discussions around how we do SaaS management. This is all sort of a concrete foundational step you've got to take to be able to take steps beyond.
Did you have any maybe insights as you first ran that discovery exercise? Anything surprising, anything kind of jaw-dropping, or about what you expected?
I think probably the biggest surprise we had was one where the emotions that are around specific applications and technologies can change quite a bit. So some of them were just easy, but then you'd think of some that are buried in a operational team somewhere, and there's a individual or set of individuals that are very passionate about it. It becomes a really kind of interesting discussion. Those were surprises. How many people want to be IT that don't realize it, I guess.
So talk to me how you balance that. And this is every IT leader, every finance leader as well, for that matter. You've got to be able to balance allowing your employees to lead and drive innovation of the tools they need and the passion in those organizations for the fit and feel. But you've also, as we started the show, you've also got to reduce the inefficiency and the clutter in your organization and the sprawl. How do you balance that?
Sometimes it's not a balance, unfortunately. Yeah. Sometimes it is a pretty hard and fast decision we need to make. And honestly, my experiences have been on the wrong side of that, where when you're not decisive and you do let a couple technologies go that are doing the same thing or doing things that are a bit redundant, it can be a real serious drain on an organization. And I've seen that happen with collaboration tools, with even having multiple financial systems at companies, and it just does not scale quickly. So those are the kind of areas where we just got to be decisive. And, you know, where possible, what we've tried to do is funnel those emotions and that passion into what is the net new tool. And, you know, from an employee experience and employee engagement, people get excited about learning new technology too. So being able to train people up on new tech, that's always a great thing, especially if they love tech.
Yeah, agreed with that. So that's step one, you're finding everything. Step two is the actual management that you mentioned. Maybe talk a little bit about, once you know what you've got, you've had some of those internal conversations around, you know, do we want to keep all of these tools in place? Once you've got a roster of what tooling is right for the organization, then how do you start down that management and define management for us?
Managing the tools and SaaS, the technology, is one of, in our mind, a few things. It's optimizing. So rationalizing and optimizing what we have. It's also making sure we have all the right ownership. Being real clear on ownership is also a big part of this, that understanding who owns what. And that can be the technology owner, that can be the business owner who owns how this functionality works within the business, and the, you know, kind of administration, more traditional sort of IT stuff. But the real work comes in of, okay, how do we align all of that? And when we're managing a tool effectively, we're understanding everything about it. the cost, the renewal, the timing of when things need to be considered for decision making, because a lot of times some of this cost savings is all based on contract dates.
Yeah.
That's the only time you can really identify. So managing it is understanding every detail about the technology, the partnership. Do we have a good vendor relationship here? Do we have good context? Do we know who we're supposed to talk to? Is the person who implemented that still at the company?
Sure.
You know, yeah. Those kind of things come up when you start getting into true management after you've got that inventory together.
Okay. So I think that's a lot of those management upfront steps. You've built out a process beyond the renewal and beyond just provisioning and deprovisioning, even when you're talking about management, but you've operationalized usage and adoption and the regular kind of curation of that. How are you getting visibility and finding those opportunities so that you can fund the innovation budget?
I've done it the hard way, which is I've kept things in a spreadsheet and I update them and I play whack-a-mole with technology and trying to find and keep updated with everything. But the fact is, there's an automation necessary, which is in that data collection step. So once you have the initial inventory, an ongoing inventory has to continue. Everything from who's buying what tool, how are they buying it? So, you know, this is where really we've leveraged the Xylo platform to automate a lot of the management and the ongoing maintenance of our program here. So everything from, do we have enough licenses? Do we have too many licenses? Do we need to be ready for that renewal? Are we seeing new tools being bought that are redundant? Do we need to optimize some of the current tech stack that's there? So yeah, I've done it the hard way. Mm-hmm. And that's really how I came to find Xylo. I spent hours and hours keeping up with spreadsheets only to find out when I'd go to present to our executive team in a former life that my data was out of date. And it was both embarrassing as well as not a real good career step in being able to get in front of executives with the wrong information.
Let me ask about that as well. So now, how do you report to the executive team? What is the framework in which you use to be able to inform the business of all of the results of your ongoing discovery?
Yeah. So the primary means we do it is, you know, in a quarterly rhythm, we provide our executives a good snapshot of how we're doing with tech governance here at ModMed. And that's everything from, where do we have opportunities? Where have we seized opportunities to reduce licenses? Where do we maybe have some pretty big decisions to make in the coming quarter around upcoming contracts and licenses and partnerships we have?
That makes a lot of sense. And that rounds out kind of how you think about crawl, walk, run. You've got to discover it. You've got to optimize it and manage it. And you've listed those steps. But is there a step four as well, which is kind of demand management, that do we even have the right apps in our business? How do you evaluate that?
New apps still sneak in. It's not like there's no magic wand of stopping the incoming. You know, new employees come in every day, new ideas come in every day. So when we have a new app come in, we've operationalized a sort of a lightweight, I'll call it, selection process, because again, back to the legacy way of doing things, that doesn't work. So we'll do a quick analysis. Do we already have tools that do that feature functionality? We'll leverage a lot of the redundancy in the reporting that we have in Xylo to identify if we already have that feature functionality. But I think it comes down to also, don't just evaluate and say, we already have the tool, get rid of that new one that came in. We'll take a look and say, do we have the right one now? Maybe we need to replace that. And so there's a discussion that takes place. So I think there's still an incoming review process that happens around the tool and tech. And we will look at things like the security profile of the tool. Is it a more secure, better tool for us to have than the one we have, or those kind of things?
So Trent, you mentioned the walk phase. In that phase, it's really about the actual management of the software. And at ModMed, your team has really taken this on. You've implemented this really great programmatic approach to license management. And by this, I mean, you have that process, the automations in place to conduct workflows, but a lot of companies struggle with that. What do you think is really keeping them from being successful or preventing them from doing license management in the way that you all are thinking about it?
From two failed attempts at this, I'd go back to just being able to find all the different inventory of tools and technologies can be a little bit of a monumental feeling task, but there's not an ending to it. Maybe that's the best way to put it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of times you look at that inventory management and say, until I get perfect and 100% of everything collected and identified, I'm not going to start with the next phase. And I think what's important is you need to get it good enough and then move on to starting to manage, because as an ongoing process, you'll be able to collect and identify those other things. So that would be probably something I would suggest. And the other thing I would say is good partnerships across a few organizations. So this is not an IT only thing. This is not a tech only thing. The key here is having procurement, security, financial teams all aligned on what the goals and objectives are. And when everyone's singing from that same sheet of music, it makes it go much smoother.
Sometimes that's hard to get that cross-company collaboration. What have you done that's maybe helped that go faster? Maybe what are some of the missteps that you've made there?
Good partnerships are tough. Mm-hmm. And I always personally start with everyone sharing the same goals and mission. And so when we get aligned around the goal and mission of this is to actually drive productivity as well as drive cost savings and management, everyone starts to win with that, because there's no finance team that's going to say no to that. There's no procurement team that's going to say, hey, I really like to go through selection processes for thousands of tools every year. And so being able to get everyone around the same sort of goal and objective around how we're trying to manage tech is, I think, the most important part of this process.
Yes. Following on to that, are you then programmatically surveying users to pull back unused licenses for all three tiers of apps? So the ones that you own and manage, the ones that you administer, and the ones that you consult? Or are you kind of starting with the ones you manage first and building that throughout your organization?
Yep. We focus on the tier one, tier twos.
Yep.
And so, you know, that keeps it to a more manageable number, but also, honestly, if you look at both the spend as well as the sprawl of usage, those are the two tiers that actually matter the most.
Yeah. You know, we talk a lot about unused shelfware and licensing and employees that leave the company and still hold on to licensing or didn't even know they had a license. Or as you mentioned, they were on a project once and didn't realize that nobody pulled that away from them. So when you started running programmatic workflows on your tier one and tier two apps, you know, what did you find out when you were putting that in place?
There are thousands of licenses that are unused.
Yeah.
And that's both a security concern, but there's a financial concern there as well. And this has been a huge win for us internally. And I can tell you that what's interesting is even our executives, which at first, when we started this process, I thought they would be like, oh God, you're sending me more emails. What is this? I got a thank you from them on these emails coming out, because they know that we're keeping our eye on the ball and we know we're watching. And this tells them that we do have a governed tech environment here. So that is a huge win for us here at ModMed, is being able to keep track of that on a regular basis.
All right, Trenton. We have enjoyed this conversation today. We like to end with a little bit of a fun question, both your business and your personal. What is a favorite application that you use?
Yeah, so business app, easy, Slack. I'll say it this way, the right use of Slack, because it is so much more than a chatting tool. And I think when you get to know and understand how much it can integrate your business and keep productivity running at a company, the better off you are. And I love Slack.
All right. Slack is your favorite business app. What is your favorite personal app?
Personal app, Spotify. Love Spotify, podcasts. The year is just getting kicked off. So you mentioned my four daughters. As a family, we like to share each other's, you know, previous year's playlist. And that's always interesting to see who's got what songs on their playlist. So definitely like to listen to music. And so Spotify would be my number one.
Who was your most listened to artist last year?
I think it was Morgan Wallen.
Trenton, I have a family Spotify account and I have a daughter as well. So we were dominated by Taylor Swift in 2023.
Swifties.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, Trenton, thank you again for your time today. It was an incredible conversation to really learn. Loved the thinking around IT really serving as that partner in the business and how, and your thoughts and tips really for the audience on how IT can create those relationships. And loved learning more about your crawl, walk, run approach, but also really how inventory and discovery is that critical key starting point to any programmatic strategic approach to SaaS management. And really, I think you gave everybody a way to make their innovation goals next year to be able to use SaaS management as a way to fuel that. Thank you again. Obviously, great conversation. Just really enjoyed chatting with you today.
Thank you very much for having me.
Did you enjoy the episode? pass it along to your friends. Subscribe to get notifications for the latest episode. Share your favorite takeaways and join the conversation on social media using hashtag SaaSMeUnfiltered.